you all, my opinion, never ever talk bad about Vaishnavas. First of all, good and bad is only a perception, Manodharma. And second of all, Krishna immediately leaves your heart when you talk badly about a Vaishnava. This is the most dangerous type of prajata and absolutely must be avoided. Absolutely. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for listening to this talk on prajalpa. May I ask you for a short summary? It's almost like in the last section. I thought it would be nice, like a brainstorm, so that we just deepen the points which we have heard. What were the points which were made, please? I hear you, please. It's more like a brainstorm then.
Talking to satisfy yourself.
About meaningless things. We
heard about meaningless things, yeah.
It's one of the five addresses of the Holy Name.
Five of the addresses, and one was the Holy Name, and the other was in Sadhu Sangha, the Lord manifest, that has to do with positive talk, it is right, it is outside of this category. Yes, it has nothing to do. I just wanted to say, these are meaningless talks. This is Jalpa just breathing hot air, so say, and this Vijendra just trying to be victorious. Yes, this Vada is different. It is conclusive talk. It is Krishna. It has nothing to do. Thank you. You remember this? I thought this is very interesting. If you want to preach, people like to have such systematic approach. I think we don't need to repeat it because it's all written already there.
Others
in general, yes. There's an interesting verse which I wanted to say. Whoever indulges in praising or criticizing the qualities and behavior of others will quickly become deviated from his own best interest by his entanglement in illusory dualities. The idea here is that there is no good and bad. There are just no good and bad. There are just material experiences. We are of a different category. We are citizens of the spiritual world. We should not entangle ourselves in material dualities. I personally feel it is wonderful. Meditate, please, about this and see how you can use it in your life. Yes,
please. It's a good point because we really have a tendency to judge too quickly. We don't know what the other person is.
Yeah.
We just criticize too much.
I remember once on this line giving a lecture in Cologne, which I really felt very, very strong for. Sometimes in preaching we feel, oh, this is so good, if people know this, it will make all the difference with them. But there were two people talking constantly in the back. Usually there are ways and means to stop this. You can just say, oh, I have a good idea, why don't you go in another room? Then you can talk much more freely and undisturbed, and we can be undisturbed. But in the hippie times, sometimes mothers would bring their children, the children would voice their discontent with life by crying. You would say, and it was touchy to criticize the child. This is never to be done in alternative circles. So I used to say, oh, don't you see your child is hungry? Give him the breast. And in this way, the shy mother would go out of the room and the problem would be solved. But sometimes such tricks don't work. And it was one of these areas. I could not tell the people to stop. So I was cooking inside, and I was just barely getting through with my concentration. Then I was walking out of the door, and this man who talked all the time came to me, and I thought, if he is now going to say the wrong thing, he will know how angry Swami is going to be. Was really fired up like this. And this man came to me, and he said, oh, we like your lecture, I like your lecture very much. And even my friend, who came the first time with me to a spiritual program, liked it very much, despite my lousy translation. He was translating all the time. So I thought it was very bad. But then when he said this, I thought, finally someone likes my funny lecture. Finally. What a relief, you know. And he became very pleased with the man. So there are, it's quite, what we should see, try to learn is seeing the good. Seeing the good. A first class man will, actually that's a different point. Yes.
I have a question.
Please.
One of the Brahmini qualities also could be the mode of goodness and follow a moral codex. So, and does this also refer to not at all following, I mean, that sounds like not at all following morality, because for morality one also has to judge what is good, what is bad.
Yeah.
If I run off with another wife or whatever.
You bring in a very interesting discussion about morality and so on. And just before coming here, I read how relative morality or immorality is. The example is being given. Usually it's bad if you smash somebody's roof and go into the roof, through the roof into him. But when there's a fire, the same act of smashing somebody's roof and going inside the house through this way is considered to be highly laudable. In this way, saints have said it is very difficult to find out good and bad in this world. We, as Vaishnavas, do have, however, an maximum standard. That standard which we apply is it favorable for service to Krishna or unfavorable? And that is our good and bad. Yeah. There is a higher or transcendental morality which does not really change so easily as relative mundane morality. Obviously, I do not think I have to say, there are also the Dharma Shastras which tell us how we should behave according to Dharma. A devotee will always be a gentleman, that's a description of a devotee. He will use the mode of goodness, knowing that if he gets into lying and cheating and so on and so forth, the lower qualities of nature will come and pollute him. So morality and immorality has something to do with the gunas, and the devotee will always try to act from the mode of sattva and transcend that. Mm-hmm. Good. Let me just look at the... Oh, the time is going in this fast. Is it really? I have to up to 12:30. Is this a fact? 12:30 is the seminar? Yeah? Or is it 12:15 and 12:30 the next thing starts? 12:30. Good. We are a little bit slow. So I will not ask for realizations here, because also personally I feel the realizations whichever took place in you are there in your heart, and they may be of a private nature when it comes to Prajalpa. You know your Vishnu. But I wanted to say, give you a nice motivation why it is really good to be, to avoid prajalpa in a transcendental way. We have, I wanted to give some positive thing. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there is a very interesting verse which tells us how we can increase the quality of our chanting. And I feel every devotee is very concerned about this. How can I chant better? What tip can be given? And now please listen to this wonderful verse which I find is the best motivation to avoid prajalpa. What is the most important rule in chanting the holy name? Attentiveness. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that all offenses which you do really come out of the grave of attentiveness, like zombies. You know, everything, if you are inattentive, everything else comes from there. So, how can we be attentive? Please listen. To be attentive, purification of the heart is required. If the heart is pure, it is easy, but if it is impure with so many thoughts, it is difficult. This means keeping silence, that is, avoiding unfavorable talking. In other words, you will have a pure heart if you avoid unfavorable talking. You can be attentive then. While chanting, one must affectionately remember the meaning of the mantra. And then other tips are given. I will just tell them here. Steadiness, patience and attachment to chanting are all treasures of chanting. But especially in this discussion, I feel we should know that unfavorable talking, prajalpa in other words, leaves some agitation in the heart and it will be impure, and as a result we cannot be attentive. I find that the best motivation for a devotee of Krishna to avoid prajalpa, no idle talking. Hare Krishna. So we will now go into Niyamagraha. I want to do this a little fast, Niyamagraha. It means too much attachment to or too much neglect of rules and regulations. Let me first of all hear you now. Why do you think rules and regulations are necessary? Why do we keep rules and regulations? Purification of the heart.
We don't know our spiritual goal.
They direct us towards our spiritual goal.
Control the mind and the senses.
Yes, it helps us to control the mind and the senses.
We're not on the spiritual spontaneous platform.
Yes, we are not on the spontaneous platform. We need guidance.
Protection for our spiritual religion, through our actions.
Yes, it protects us so that we do not make sinful activities. Now, how do you think can rules and regulations disturb your spiritual life? It says here too much attachment to, so we should not be too attached to rules and regulations. Can you, have you thought about this?
They can also stop our spontaneous
situations. They can stop our spontaneous nature. For instance, when we are preaching and we are there with some nice people and it's 9 o'clock and my rule is go early to bed and early to rise. That, yes.
When it disturbs our service or our concentration towards Krishna.
When it disturbs our service or concentration to, of Krishna. Could you give an example, Prabhu? I know it's difficult. I think Gadara is an example.
Like for example, one may want to pass for Hikarashi, but one finds out one cannot do service, maybe.
Yeah. One wants to fast, totally from all food, and one feels so weak that all one thinks about is food and cannot do service. By the way, for those of you, this is a nice point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, if during a fast one thinks of food all the time, oh, I wish it's over, 2 more hours. And then the result of the fasting, the benefit of the austerity, cannot be had. As described, isn't it? Yes,
much. But also, for example, while making puja, and one is so concentrated on exactly 7 circles and where they are, and so then I kind of concentrate on love and devotion.
I remember my first arti. You know, numbers is my absolute weakness. I have many, but to count and the numbers and to keep it in mind, very difficult. So, after I said, when I did the first arti, my tooth were going like. But I was only thinking of the numbers and writing, and I think, you know, I'm glad that Krishna didn't just throw me through the window. Hare Krishna. Yes, your answers are very relevant and very nice. Thank you very much. A point which has been indicated but not maybe vocalized or verbalized strongly is that rules and regulations are progressive. That is, on one particular state, you need a certain set of rules and regulations. Then, as you advance, these rules and regulations may not be any longer relevant to you. I want to give a very simple example from the Western civilization, or from our Western background. You may talk to someone who's totally attached in smoking and say, okay, if you want to advance, half a packet, not more, a day. Preachers know that they had to say this. Now, if after initiation that person goes back to half a packet of cigarettes a day, he will come to fall. In the same way, there are different sets of rules and regulations. For instance, for grihasthas, there is an allowance to associate with the partners, which are very relevant for this ashram. I do not want to say the exact rules and regulations, but there are. Now, if someone who is on a different, let us say, this sannyasi has taken, the grihastha has taken sannyas, and he remembers the old set of rules and regulations, he will come to fall. There are many or several of such examples which are there, which we have to keep. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the process of sadhan bhakti there are 4 stages: shraddha, nishtha, ruchi and asakti. After passing these 4 stages, one comes to the level of bhava, which is the doorstep of prema. According to the degree of faith, each level has different rules. As one leaves behind one level and progresses to the next, he should honor the rules of the latter, the letzteren Regeln soll er einhalten, and leave aside those of the former. Gives another example, which we will find here. The temple of Krishna Prema is situated on the highest peak of Goloka Vrindavan. In order to reach that peak, one has to cross the 14 planetary systems of Karmakanda, the Viraja Brahmaloka of the Jnanakanda, and then rise above Vaikuntha. In other words, those rules which were there for karma and jnana are no longer relevant for the bhakti. We were talking yesterday about jnana prayasha and karma prayasha. And after crossing the various stages of bhakti, one reaches the doorstep of prema. Yes. Now, Any one of you, what do you consider the essence of all rules and regulations? Oh, there are many voices. Yeah.
So always
remember
Krishna and never forget.
Thank you very much. So always remember Krishna and never forget him. Do you have any other answers to this question? Everyone has the same, right? You very learned. This point is made in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami after he has described all the rules and regulations. To always remember Krishna and never forget him. I want to go a little bit into the Vaishnava traditions here. I found out Ramanujacharya had given a very nice example. I'm trying to draw something, please. Please encourage me. What this is meant to express is that at the beginning our remembrance of Krishna will be interrupted, almost like a river at its initial stage. We will remember sometimes, but then again forget. Then the remembrance comes again, forgetfulness, remembrance, and so on. How can we make this river constant?
More water is needed.
Good, you are a person of analogies. Please translate us. So translate this to those of us who do not immediately understand what is you mean.
Water is needed.
Yeah. I in particular find out an answer from our Shastras very helpful.
When when our disruption, when our anatta is gone,
yeah,
blanks will be filled with devotion.
Yeah. In other words, you say anattas are blocking this stream, really. There's a very interesting observation, yes. Then we are all of a sudden think some envious thought, or we think about I'm better than him or her, or we think about maybe it's some. Just have to go, matter out. What's the positive? Chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada gave a very important instruction about chanting Hare Krishna, which is especially relevant to this. I feel many of us, at least I have this dilemma, I have these sporadic remembrances, but it is interrupted again. Don't interrupt your chanting. This is Prabhupada's interesting commentary. Once the Sankirtan devotees came to Srila Prabhupada saying, how can we distribute more literature? Svavas was telling this in the Heidelberg temple. So Srila Prabhupada thought for quite some time and then said, chant your rounds without interruption. I found this particular advice also relevant in our remembrance of Krishna or the day. We learn in the morning to not interrupt our chanting. What you can do is, in a very responsible way, when someone comes at your chant, you can just go like Krishna. You know, they will understand and respect it because they know themselves it should not be interrupted. It's a feeling which all the Vaishnavas do have. They will respect it. Try this. It is really will help your chanting, that will help the purification of the mind, that will help the remembrance. That's ideal. That he said. 16 rounds without interruption.
How big is the mind during the chanting?
Listen, there are three rules for the mind during chanting. Listen. Yeah, he said go to Vrindavan and be inspired by the Krishna consciousness of the devotees who always change the names. Say that.
Yeah. Become more absorbed in devotional service.
More absorbed in devotional service. Mm-hmm. In addition to chanting, everything you say is absolutely right. I would also say, speak about spiritual things. Don't allow the tongue, which is like a prostitute, to just you know, go to the next subject matter. Keep it with the talk spiritually as much as possible. It's a practice, it won't happen overnight, but it is very nice. So I want to go quickly, I will cover three areas. Now my last area will be Jnana Sangha. What means Jnana? Means people, and Sangha means association. Association with worldly minded persons is also an obstacle to advancement in Krishna consciousness. In the scriptures it is described how nice the association with spiritually minded people is. It is described that persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the duality of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. This point is very much like the point Satsvarup Maharaj repeated yesterday. You remember Prabhupada told to his devotees, you have all been devotees in your previous lives. Each one of you was a great soul in the previous life. Now you have made a comeback due to various reasons, but you are special devotees. In preaching to devotees, preachers have often seen how special the person is before them. Sometimes Krishna grants a vision, in a previous life this person might have been here or there, which may not be just absolute, but which may have been an indication, how special, he is an alte Seele, an old soul, this is a contemporary expression. Obviously we are all old souls, but in that sense that he had already some contact. So in such a association, we can have a so-called resonance effect. Resonance effect. Do you know what is a resonance? Resonance is seen when you have a sitar and you play the melody strings. A certain frequency is created, something which Gadara can tell us better than me, a sound frequency, and this frequency is bringing the other resounding strings to resound. So it makes resounds. So the sadhu or devotee has bliss in his heart. He has realized some of his eternal nature, and he is full of knowledge. These are the same qualities which you have in your heart. You are full of knowledge. You are eternal. You are full of bliss. This is there. And when you come together with a sadhu, these strings in yourself begin to resound. Have you not sometimes seen when you come and see the devotees, one feels so happy before even the first word is spoken? Have you made this experience in your life? Yes, no, middle. Isn't it? This is something we when we come in Radhadesh and then we see Satvaru Maharaj and then we see Lokanath Maharaj coming in the door. then we just, our heart just redounds. This is not my explanation, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation. That's why you should have association with sadhus and not with jhana. You don't have so.
Hiranyakashipu explained to Prabhupada, oh Prabhupada, association is like a crystal.
Whatever is you associate with, that is reflected. For instance, even before this crystal, you put a red telephone, then there will be a red color on the crystal. So this is how your heart works. It is like a crystal, and whatever you have association with leaves some impression. Even if you think, if you don't accept what you have, but if you react towards it, let's say as devotees, we go to there was an example of a brahmana actually who lived next to a prostitute. And whenever the prostitute received a new man, he was bringing a stone before her house until at the end of life there was a Himalaya mountain before the house. So it happened that the prostitute was a great devotee. She said, I'm fulfilling this rule in this Vedic society because there are always these impossible lucky maniacs, and they will make the whole society unchaste and disturb this in the woman head. And so therefore I'm like a ventil for this. This is how the Vedic prostitutes. But Krishna, please, let my mind be fixed on you and not be colored by lust. My dear Krishna, my body is not, like I have two left hands, I can't do anything else. Please. So that this, they both left the body at the same time and came before the gates of Vaikuntha, and the prostitute was waved through and the brahmana was stopped. What, said brahmana? This is a mistake. It should be vice versa. No, no. She has always thought of Krishna and you have always thought of sex. In a negative way. But remember, art is like a crystal. Whatever you put... trying to paint a crystal. Whatever you put before a crystal, it becomes reflected in it. Now, my dear devotees, what is an association we should absolutely avoid? It's so good. It's difficult to really come to this. It's the association of so-called Dharma Dvajis. This is a very interesting point. Dharma Dvajis. Dharma Dvajis. What type of people are those? There's an R here. Dharma Dvajis. A Dharma Dvaji is someone who is hypocritically devout. In other words, he says Krishna, Krishna. But in his heart, he is really thinking of so many Mayic things. He is only externally a devotee, but inside a non-devotee. This is very dangerous because you tend to associate with this person being open, but there is something wrong and you feel dissatisfied. You may laugh about devotees and blaspheme devotees and talk about politics, and you you talk with the same sincerity as you talk about Krishna Katha, and then all the garbage comes over. Prabhupada used to say that it is a very, that even in the movement of Krishna consciousness, he said there are many non-devotees and one should strictly avoid the association of such people. In great humility, therefore, Narottamdas Thakur said, the six enemies, beginning with lust and anger, are taking me here and there to enjoy various forms of sense gratification. Being a servant of Maya, I have unlimited desires and have therefore forgotten you. Hoping to gain wealth, I wander from house to house in the dress of a pseudo-Vaishnava. It's very disturbing for our acharyas. You often hear, I am not a Vaishnava, I am a cheater, and so on. Because one knows, these Dharma Dvajis are something not so good to associate. So now I will raise an objection to everything I said. Hare Krishna. I should always be aggressive on other people, I will be aggressive on me. My objection, I don't want to take so much space really. Here's some brief lecture. Tachinanda Swami, your lecture was totally impractical. Do you expect that the devotees go now like this through the world, and as soon as a non-devotee comes in, they go and you have to associate with non-devotees in this world. The world is full. We are the absolute minority. More minority than any minority. You're just saying something totally impractical, irresponsible preaching. By the way, so now comes my answer. Let us consider what is association. This argument is true. We have to walk through the world. We have to make our phone calls. We can't, you know, when we go to the, ask the person, when does the train go from Radhadesh back to Cologne or wherever we live? And we ask the person, tell me first, are you a devotee or are you a non-devotee? I'm not supposed to associate with a non-devotee. Anybody get any? Association with non-devotees, you can associate with them and not associate with them. And there are two rules. The first rule is don't open the heart. Don't open the heart. By opening the heart, real association takes place. I think you all understand this in your Vaishnava friendships. Only with someone where you can be totally open, or let us say, open the heart, friendship comes to place. You can be with someone for many, many years, but not open the heart, or he has not opened, or she has not opened the heart. And then you don't really know the person. You really don't. He remains a stranger for you. So open the heart. Now this becomes very relevant for us to consider when in search for new horizons and new things we hear from non-devotees about seven habits of highly successful people and so on. It's very useful to hear this. Naveen Krishna Prabhu does an excellent job, but you have to see that somewhere, sometimes, you have to be a little careful. The devotees always point out, here, this is not quite, keep it on reserve bank, don't integrate it, maybe in the life. This is very important. open the heart to non-devotees, or to parents maybe which are totally opposed to Krishna consciousness, or so on. You have to be careful, because what's in the other heart goes in your heart. That's a rule in association. That is very positive, very good. Very good when you have good association, dangerous when you have bad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzes it later in the point that, but I will do it, cover this already now so that we get through with all our points. Association means open the heart. So when you are with non-devotees, you can have formal, how much is the apple? Oh, 20 pfennigs, I think that's a little bit too expensive. Why don't we make it 18 pfennigs? You can talk like this matter-of-factly, but not about these deep confidential things which go in. You will become influenced. I've seen this many times, how devotees went to a psychologist. I've not seen it many times, but it has not really, the wave has not hit Europe, but in America devotees often go to feel, oh, now is the time of psychology, let them help us sort out our minds. And I've heard my godbrothers who see this saying that often they buy also the misconceptions of Freud or whoever is there and become removed from. For instance, in psychology, that's an interesting example, because psychology can help to some extent, but it can also destroy to some extent. What we consider to be so important, that is sense and mind control, is in psychology the worst thing you can do in the universe, suppression, which builds up neurosis, which destroy you totally. Now if you hear from psychologists, they work according to this principle. It's a paradigm in psychology. It's in there. It's hidden. It's like sugar in the sweet rice. You don't see it anywhere, but it's there. You somehow taste it. This is how you have to be extremely careful in opening, hearing with a full open heart to non-devotees. Something is in there. This is not Krishna consciousness. This was an example from psychology. We could give many other examples. Therefore, be careful. In our scriptures, therefore, it says, and I want to end with this, it is better to accept the miseries of being encaged within bars and surrounded by burning flames than to associate with those bereft of Krishna consciousness. Such association is a very great hardship. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Yeah? I think I saw Hari Balabha first.
What is with the devotees who are
talk about all these bad things which objectively happened. We have some really dark spots because we are a movement of human beings. They have good and bad. I must say, well, good. Thank you very much, Hari Balabha, for this very important question. I have listed one, don't open the heart to non-devotees. Now, for there are also a second rule, when you give association without taking the negative aspects. The second rule is, there is a difference between giving association taking association. Giving association, you will hear, in your example, you will hear the devotee And it's a rule, if you want to help someone, you have to hear him, to allow him to give you his perspective, to give him the air. But you are very concerned of giving association, that is, your own convictions in Krishna consciousness, and even your own, I think, any older devotee has thought about the dark spots of our society, that somehow come to grips and come to live with it, and has an explanation why this happened and so on. You can tell this to them by giving association, means there is an active mood of giving Krishna consciousness. Taking association is just extremely passive. You know, you just, everything which comes, and you remain on this level. You know, we all are human beings, and we can lament about everything. You know, we can just get on the level and of lamentation. But giving association, thank you very much for sharing so openly your discontent. I did not know, now I can understand better. Please let me explain how you might develop another vision and understand it differently. This is once Prabhupada, was it Prabhupada who says, I really can't say that it was Prabhupada, but I remember either Srila Prabhupada or an older devotee, when you go to devotees who are disenchanted, preach to them, but be careful that you don't form in Maya. I heard this. Yes, please, Prabhu.
Still, it's very important that we listen,
yes,
to other people. We give them space, actually, to speak out.
Yes.
So, how would you relate that to not taking
association? Well, you can hear and hear and hear an unlimited amount of information, but you judge it. What should I accept for my life or not? I think hearing is a process to just try to understand the other person, and not to, if I hear someone, I don't do this to become influenced by the person in any way. I want to understand what is your point. Like this.
For example, if the person is directly speaking all these offenses, then
yeah.
Is it possible to hear it and not be offended?
You can request the devotee and say, please, I am still in the movement that shows a statement. I like it very much. And it's just not possible for me. This is made very succinctly in our scripture. We should not allow offenses, and this is the last point I have to end here, to just hear offenses because we want to be social and so on and so forth. Lord Chaitanya spoke about a devotee once who listened to offensive talk about the Supreme Personality of God at Mayavadi talk. This devotee heard these Mayavadi talk, and he said, sometimes he takes a straw in his mouth and sometimes he beats me with a stick, this devotee. Therefore, he is not fit to see me. The Lord continues, wherever he goes, he mixes with those people and talks like them. He is an offender at the feet of bhakti. That is why he is forbidden to see me. It's very strong. That we should not, in the name of social life, just tolerate offenses. This is not what we should do according to this verse. So I want to thank you once again very, very much for your attentive cooperation. Tomorrow at the same time we will continue, and we will get. Tomorrow will be our first real nectar day, because tomorrow we will sing the glories of enthusiasm, utsaham. We will finish tomorrow the 6 negative rules or regulations which we should avoid, and go tomorrow into the land of the positive, what we should do. That will, and it will start with the first point, enthusiasm. There are many, many very valuable points there. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Premanandi Jai. My dear devotees, very happy that today we will cross a certain border in our seminar. We will still be dealing with one of the six factors which are an obstacle to our progress in Krishna consciousness, but we will also deal with the heart and soul of our advancement in Krishna consciousness, called utsaha or enthusiasm. Let us for now concentrate on we will for now deal with Lolyam. Lolya, lapse of slang. Lolya means greed. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter to be precise, Sri Krishna explains that there are three gates which lead to degradation, in fact hell. Lust, anger and greed are three gates which lead to hell. He explains it at the end of the 16th chapter, and it's a subtle implication. The implication is that even when you are not the demoniac qualities, even if you do have divine qualities, if you by chance enter in these three through these three gates, lust, anger and greed, you will experience demonic qualities. Greed is happening psychologically when you are full of lusty feelings, and it becomes a little bit more intense, then you are becoming greedy, really. When lust is not satisfied and there is an obstacle, you usually become angry as a result of the frustration. But when lust seems to be satisfied, or you go along the road of lust, then that turns into a more intense or heavy form called greed. Now, greed can be of two types. And this gets now interesting. Greed, when it's materialistic, that the first type of greed is very dangerous, as we have materialistic. That is very, very dangerous. It can turn towards worldly things like wealth, women, or if you happen to be in the women body, men, towards a kingdom, or just material objects like good clothing, etc. Or it can also be directed, as we heard in the Bhagavad Gita seminar, towards the good things which you experience after the life, like elevation to the heavenly planets, etc. You can become motivated by you're motivated by, can become motivated by greed to attain these things. If this materialistic greed remains, there is really not much chance that bhakti will reside in the heart of a practitioner. Greed can is such a strong force that it pollutes the whole being of a person, and as a result he cannot think purely, and in an impure heart Krishna does not desire to reside. But there is also a greed which can be called spiritual greed. Now this is explained by Srila Narottama Das Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada talks quite often about it. I think we all know that sometimes one feels greed, but you can transform it and make it into something spiritual if you become greedy for spiritual things. For instance, for Krishna service. Since Jayaprataka Maharaj has yesterday given the cup of praise to me, I will take revenge in his absence and do that today to the unmanifest Jayaprataka Maharaj. If you know him well, you know he is a preacher-holic. He has also described himself like this. If it is up to him, he would not sleep. He is just so intensely desirous to get preaching opportunity that soon the airlines will not be sufficient for him. He needs an UFO, and I by flying object. This is how the acharyas tell us we can transform this very dangerous materialistic greed by just directing this mood of I want to attain this, I want to have this on service. If we do that, we will find that the dangerous aspects of this greed become annihilated, and we become well-rounded, spiritually surcharged individuals. This is greed which is in relation to Krishna. If you relate greed to food or many types of sense gratifications, then this drags you down. It is a gate which brings you to degeneration. But if you manage to direct this motivation, or let us say this driving force, towards towards Krishna, and more specific towards service of Krishna, then this type of greed will elevate you. Very quickly you will feel how you cross the limitations of the lower modes of passion and ignorance, and you can be you can come to pure greed, so to say, which is a type of sattvic greed, where you don't experience this gross attachment to results and gross attachment to and limitation if you do not get what you want. So this is one definition of lolya. Greed. It can be materialistic or spiritual, depending on where you direct it. There is another very interesting definition of lolya, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, and which I personally have heard for the first time, but when I heard it, I thought it's so relevant then we must speak about it. It's called what is it? Yes, restlessness. Do you sometimes feel restlessness? How does it manifest in your lives?
Well, we want to develop the thing that we've put in mind. We don't want to stop.
We want to do many things at the same time. And we feel almost torn. Now this, and that, and this.
We're not satisfied.
We are not satisfied, yes. We always think. Our mind is going more and more. Yes.
When we do something, we think about doing something else. When we do something else, we
are. When we do one thing, we are ready with our mind at the next thing, and on and on.
Unpleasant physical sensation.
Yes, you can't almost remain sitting on. Ants are crawling in my heart and biting. cause of restlessness is twofold. You will be very interested to hear this. It is attachment. For instance, you are with some activity and you're so attached you might go already to the next one, and aversion. Attachment and aversion are the two causes of restlessness, which can be so disturbing that you cannot be satisfied in whatever you are doing. Now, in order to curb the restlessness in the heart, which can overcome the practitioner of Bhakti Yoga, we can follow one analysis of Shri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Vyayasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana. Those who are on the spiritual path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branch. This restlessness, in other words, can stop when you fix your mind and your intelligence on one thing. By fixing the mind on one thing, on one theme, of that which is most important for you, you can overcome this restlessness and become satisfied. We as preachers or members of the Movement for Krishna Consciousness know how difficult it is sometimes to make a decision in one's life. I should do this, I should go there, I should even go to this course and not to that course. That's, for instance, very difficult when there are two very interesting parallel courses. Very difficult, and then you are in, decide in, for one course, and you feel restless. What is going on? Sometimes you feel like maybe I should run back and forth between the courses. Take note of but if you manage to fix your intelligence, on one thing, that which is most important, you can definitely overcome this type of restlessness. So a devotee can overcome this aspect of lolya or restlessness by becoming well aware of what is his fixation, what is his orientation in life, what is his mission in I'm talking almost like the seven people. What is it? Seven habits. But it is true. We must fix our mind on our goal of life, and then we can become satisfied. And that goal of life must be connected with devotional service. In the purport of the verse, Vyayasa Yatmika Buddhi, it is in, for those of you who like to deepen this course a little bit, it's in 241. You will find a beautiful purport which will help you to overcome restlessness. Yesterday in the demon classes, yesterday we heard a wonderful explanation of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur for this verse. And I would like to read this explanation to all of you, because not every one of you were there. When Prabhupada read this particular explanation, he said, this struck me very deeply. In fact, it is he has often said this inspired him very deeply and made him very how do you say it? My own language, I would say, it broadened his commitment to the order of his spiritual master. Let us again, before I read it, make the point. Restlessness can be overcome if you fix your intelligence on one thing. Now, what should this one thing be? Krishna consciousness. And as I have explained a little earlier, Krishna obviously, or Krishna consciousness, and then service, slujba, that's creation. Now please fix your intelligence or mind concentration on what I will read to you now. This is the purport of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, or a section of the purport of this verse about intelligence and resolute intelligence. The best kind of intelligence I can have is intelligence used in the service of Krishna. That intelligence is defined as fixed. When it is intent means you are attentive. When it is intent upon my spiritual master's instructions, such as chanting the name of Krishna, remember his activities, and performing service to his lotus feet. His instructions are my sadhana and my life, both in the beginning stages of bhakti as well as in bhakti's perfectional stage. I desire only to follow his instructions. I accept nothing else as my life's work, even in dreams. Do you feel that certain warmness surrounding your heart? How nice it is explained. Whether I am happy or distressed, whether the material world remains or is destroyed, I do not care. There is no loss for me. I simply must carry the orders of my spiritual master. Fixedness upon his order is determined intelligence and devotional service, and only by being fixed on his orders can such determined intelligence prosper. If you desire, we can do one thing. You can give your name and address to Lalita. This is Lalita. Please write. And she is secretary of our preaching. We can make photocopies and send you this section, because it is really very, very nice. To overcome this restlessness, in other words, we need to fix our intelligence, and the best kind of intelligence is that intelligence which is fixed on the order of our spiritual master. So nice. You will see, by being fixed like this, you know what you should do and what you should not do, what you should hear and not hear, and so on. Because that order of the spiritual master sets very clearly our priority in life, our goal in life. So good. Let us just ask a few questions. So let me This time I will only ask one question. Do you have any realizations when you heard all this? Yes?
It's just that I suffer restlessness.
The point about restlessness.
It's just that it's a real problem.
It is a real problem. Yeah.
We are Western people. We are bred in the mode of passion and ignorance, and then therefore this restlessness, this dissatisfaction. But we can fix it, and you have to start with the intelligence. If you want to get very psychologically about it, you can meet me after the class. And in very detail. Any other realization, please? Yeah.
Once I read something from a prominent person whose name I've forgotten, and he said, if you do something restlessly, it shows that you aren't interested in the thing or in the activity you do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly these contradiction, attachment and aversion, they normally don't fit together.
Yeah. When you are, yes. You are not really fixed, you are in conflict, therefore you are you're full of attachment and aversion, and you're not situated properly, then you're restless. Very nice, prominent person. Yes, Maharaj.
The only thing that will help someone is to surrender to a guru.
Yes.
And all the other psychological processes and how nicely they're put together will simply make one restless.
Yeah. Wonderful realization. The only process which helps is surrender to a bona fide guru. The other processes will not curb the restlessness. I'm repeating all of this for the tape during posterity. Good. Thank you very much. Now, my dear devotees, I could almost jump over the table. I'm so excited about the subject matter. like yesterday in the Namhada seminar, you remember that film is Utsaha. Utsaha. Okay, right, yes. Utsaha means, of course, enthusiasm. In the beginning, enthusiasm is really the life force of sadhana, of Krishna conscious sadhana. Without enthusiasm, our sadhana can slip into a routine or mechanic form of practicing Krishna consciousness. Enthusiasm, you can say, almost is like the soul also of faith. If you have faith, and you have a living faith, that must have the soul of enthusiasm. Shraddha is the beginning stage, Shraddha is important so that you start the Krishna conscious process. Shraddha is important that you start it, and it is important to accompany you through the various stages of Krishna conscious practice of Bhakti Yoga. Now the Shraddha will become your best friend only if you have the soul of enthusiasm. Utsaha. This is how. For instance, look at modern forms of religiosity. If they are not enthusiastic, these different practitioners, for what they do, they will make compromises one after the other, they will become worldly minded, and so on and so forth. Now, enthusiasm is a very essential thing, but it is also an subject matter which we need to discuss very deeply. I want you as my respected audience to make a little thought experiment, but before that I would like to just have a quick show of hands. Who
is longer in Krishna consciousness than 3 years? Please raise your hand. That is most of the devotees. Who is not yet 3 years in Krishna consciousness? Mm-hmm. Also some number. Thank you very much. Now, I want to ask you a question. When did you feel the last time enthusiastic? Please, each one say something.
This morning.
This morning. What? Guru put. No, no. You make like this. This is. Was it really meant? Your heart was aflame with the power of enthusiasm. Yeah. Also yesterday morning. You like Guru Puja.
So many devotees.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
And for the class of Jyad Takumaras about preaching.
The Namhata, yeah. Gauranga. Yes.
This morning I bought a copy of Srila Prabhupada's Vidamrita.
And that made you enthusiastic, finally. Yes. Good. Anything else?
The Kirtan or Swami.
Oh, yes. Yes. When he sings. Stones begin to jump. My experience also. Yeah. Sometimes, well, I'm actually not in the able now because my mind is with so many thoughts at the present moment that I can't go systematically in this experiment. I have made an experiment where I have seen that young devotees, relatively young devotees, say, yeah, this morning I was enthusiastic. And old devotees often say, yeah, when I joined I was enthusiastic. I have made this experiment many times. You know, I'm a little bored and not so much afraid to go deeply into something, and I have seen many times that younger devotees appear to be more enthusiastic than older devotees. Maybe in your own life you might remember when you joined. We were so enthusiastic. We went without shoes there on the street to Disney World. No one could hold us. It was almost impossible to understand. Now we're a little bit more sedate, and so on and so forth. Enthusiasm has two aspects. There is what you call utsaha, enthusiasm, and there's something which you call utsaha mayi. Now this sounds almost like Maya, isn't it? It's not so. Utsaha mayi is enthusiasm which is displayed at a stage when a devotee is not yet steady in the practices of Krishna consciousness. Utsaha mayi is enthusiasm which is fixed upon external things. The example Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives in the Madhurya Kadambini is the example of a little boy who gets who's not able to read, but who gets a book, and all of a sudden he feels, ha! I have entered the world of the grown-up people. I have also a book. I am also amongst those people who can be very learned and get information. I also have gone to this state. Now, after some time, the same book will be thrown into the corner because he actually doesn't know to read it. It actually doesn't bring him any taste which can keep his enthusiasm alive. So, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, devotees tend to be very enthusiastic. I remember the day I had the first, I was allowed to put the dhoti on. I immediately called my friend and said, you must come to the temple. You will never forget this. You know. Come. And many came and we had a prasada party and, you know, celebrated the first dhoti day. No exaggeration. I remember Himavati, you know, gave me dhoti and these are enthusiasm which is related to externals, and because it is not deep and it, because it cannot supply a taste, it will also go after some time. If the Brahmin boy, however, learns to read the book, that book, if it is a good book, if it is a shastra, will remain a source of constant inspiration. So, a devotee, as he gets older, must learn to read the books, or to translate the analogy into our reality, he must know what are the sources of real enthusiasm, of, let us say, which is not dependent on external things, and he must go daily with his cup to these sources of enthusiasm and get the amrita of Krishna consciousness. He must know how to practice. Now, in preparing this course, I was thinking, what can I present to all of you as the sources of enthusiasm? And by Krishna's mercy, we stumbled over a letter of Srila Prabhupada where he speaks of the sources and maintenance of our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. Again, this is a letter which those of you who are interested to have can get in photocopy by giving their names and addresses to Lalita, and we will send this to you so that you have some reference. For now, I will just read it to you as it is, and I will request you to listen extremely attentive, because I think all of us want that our initial enthusiasm, which was so strong so that we could reject the so-called pleasant materialistic life and become devotees, I think we all want that this enthusiasm is maintained and also grows, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Good. Therefore, so I will read now from Srila Prabhupada's letter written on the 31st of December. Rupa Goswami has introduced the system of regulative principles, which I have taught you also. These regulative principles, such as rising before 4 a.m. for Mangal Arati, chanting 16 rounds minimum on beads daily, reading books, going for the street sankirtan, preaching to anyone and everyone, offering the prasad. These principles of devotional service are there to safeguard us from bias attack by keeping us always enthusiastic. If we strictly observe these principles, we shall remain always enthusiastic. These are the sources and the maintenance of our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. Krishna Chanda, can you just come here and write it down while I speak? Because I'm getting a little into a time emergency. So the first source which Prabhupada mentions is rising at 4 a.m. Before 4 a.m. In the nectar of, no, in the Lilamrita, there's a quotation about from Srila Prabhupada about rising early. When Srila Prabhupada was still in the Vamsi Gopal temple in Vrindavan, there was a widow who lived in the same temple who came every morning very early out of bed, went to take a bath in Yamuna, and then brought a container of water back for the Abhishek. I must correct myself, this was in the Radha Damodar temple. And she brought this container or this pot of water back for the Abhishek of Radha Damodar. So, without fail, she went up early in the morning, and Prabhupada said, just for this she went back, and served Krishna. Just for this she went back, home back to Godhead. Said, who is serious in spiritual life must rise early in the morning. There is, of course, an esoteric significance for the Brahma Muhurta. There is a certain environmental influence which makes it very easy to concentrate and so on. But I do not really want to dwell on this aspect. I must also be very honest, I don't know so much about this esoteric aspect. But there's another benefit, which is more spiritual. The Lord is an early riser. In his pastime and in his deity, in his deity worship, the Lord rises up early and he wants to see his devotees in the morning. He wants to see, it's just like a king wants to see his subordinates, so the Lord will come and see. So when you rise early, you should recite prayers like we do in Mangal Arati, or if you are a traveling preacher and there is no temple there, still you should rise early and greet the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Worship the Lord at an early time in the day. He is an early riser and he will hear you and wants to hear you. It's the time which is also best for your spiritual practices, because the sattva gun is more prominent in the morning. During the day it turns into Raja and Tama. Sankirtan devotees also know that when they go out early at 10 o'clock, people are much easier to handle with. But later, they become passionate, at least in Germany, I think it's everywhere. Chanting 16 rounds minimum on beads daily. I do not know if I have said this already. When you chant your rounds, try to do it in an uninterrupted fashion. And one tip to do this, japa is explained, you have to offer your mind into the mantra. Your mind is somewhere else. Let me say, your mouth is chanting, but your heart or the mind somewhere else. You cannot derive the full benefit. You must therefore put the mind there where it is. The next is reading books. Prabhupada has mentioned this. Reading books gives us Srinvatam Svakata Krishna. Krishna comes if you hear, and hear means also means read. He comes in the heart and he sits there. The Lord, that's a verse from the second canto, enters through the channel of the ear into the heart by the process of bona fide hearing. Then he's there. Going for street sankirtan, either book distribution or also harinam. We had just a summer camp for 1 week, and when we finally took everyone out, this was like 450 congregational members, not everyone could come because some had to help at the kitchen and so on and so forth. But we had 450 people in Pula. You don't, can't believe how enthusiastic they became. It was definitely the high point of the summer camp. We had nice dancing formations. For instance, we had on one side 200 people, and on the other side, that was a long, big marketplace, maybe 75 meters, 100 meters. The other 200, and then at a given time, you gave the signal and they came and it looked like the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It really looked dramatic. But that was not really... I think that was still in the mood, but the real thing is, if you chant in Harinam, if you perform the Yuga Dharma, spread it to the conditioned soul, Mahaprabhu becomes personally attracted. It is there. When we had this big Harinam in Moscow, where we chanted the Hare Krishna mantra with 35,000 people. My dear devotees, you must see it on video to believe it. We have videos. You can also get your order with Lalita, but you have to pay a little for that. And the others are for free. But if you would like a video, it seemed that Lord Chaitanya would appear amongst the crowd.